Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Peter Gammons, does not just teach. He takes the Word of God and gets revelation from the Word of God. And some of these revelations, I have to tell you, you have never heard before. For instance, your revelation on the names of God. Teach a little bit on that, Peter Gammons.
Yeah. You know, when I studied theology, they had this theory that the book of Genesis wasn't written by Moses. It had several authors, the Elohist author, the Yahwist author, because there's different names for God, and they thought that these different authors had written parts and used different names. But God gave me revelation on this. As I'm studying the Word, he began to show me that we need to encounter God in the order that he reveals himself by his names in the Bible. And then once I saw that, he began to show me how Abraham, for example, met with him first as Elohim, then as Yahweh, then as Adonai, then as El Shaddai, the God who provides for all of our needs. And then the same thing happened to Isaac. And I teach this in my book, El Shaddai, which is part of the Power in Your Pocket series that you're offering to the listeners this week. So you need to get that because I share that. First of all, God reveals himself as Elohim, the God to whom nothing is impossible, the creator God. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And so first we need to know God is the great creator God. But then something interesting happens in chapter 2 of the book of Genesis. When God creates man, he reveals himself by a new name, which is Yahweh, the loving redeemer. And so, first of all, we need to know God in his greatness, but then we need to get an intimate relationship with God. And this is, for example, the devil believes in Elohim, but he doesn't know Yahweh. And many people, they say, well, I believe in God, surely I'll go to heaven. It's not believing in God, it's knowing Yahweh that's the important thing. And so we've got to move beyond knowing God, although we need to know God's creative power, his great power, and that's greater than any need we'll ever encounter. Needs are just an opportunity for a miracle. But then we need to get to know him intimately as Yahweh. So first of all, I believe in God, but then I get to know him as Yahweh. But then in the next name God reveals himself is the word Adonai, which means Lord. The name that's the primarily same name that's used for Jesus in the New Testament. And it's the one to whom we surrender. We're not talking about a God who's out to dominate. We're looking out for a God who's looking to protect. Now, it's important that you understand that. The devil roams around seeking whom he may devour. That means he can't devour anybody. He's trying to find those who he can devour. And when we surrender to God, we close the door on the devil. And that's the important thing. The devil cannot erupt. And this is one of the things that I've taught throughout this 12-book series that's being offered. When you've got to know how to close the door on the devil in your life. Because the devil, some people say, well, God's going to give me back what the devil stole. We give the devil an opportunity to steal. We mustn't give the devil an opportunity. We mustn't give him an advantage. We've got to learn how to close the door on the devil so he can rob us no more. And then we meet with him as Adonai, or Lord. And only then did God reveal himself as Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Jireh, the Lord our provider. And then as El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, the God who can meet every need that we have in abundance. Now, here is the problem I see in Christianity. People are trying to get their needs met by El Shaddai before they've surrendered to Adonai. They're trying to get their needs met by God before they've understood the greatness of Elohim. They're trying to get their needs met before they've been healed of the hurts inside and got to realize that Yahweh is the loving, caring Redeemer. Isn't it wonderful? He calls himself the Redeemer even before man's lost.
What you pointed out, which is so amazing, it is a progressive revelation of knowing God when you know the names of God. I've never seen that before. And that's just one of your little booklets. But I want to go back to the way God speaks to you. In 2005, God said America was under a financial curse and for you to sell your house. I bet there are a lot of people listening to us that wish they got that word in 2005.
Well, this is a very interesting thing. As I've said, none of the partners of my ministry or anyone who listened to me lost anything during the financial challenges. Another thing that I told the parts of my ministry was to sell all their stocks and shares. I told them, and this is in public writing, that I said that the directors of these companies, they're spending all your money on yachts and luxury cars, and I told people, do not invest in what you do not control. And those who listened to me saved millions, and some of them billions. Those who didn't lost millions. And some lost their life savings. But the Lord told me, he said, America is under financial curse. And when he told me that, it was with a real sadness, like he wanted something to be different. We need to understand God doesn't curse us, we curse ourselves. And the Lord said the reason is the majority of my people are not tithing. And the Bible says that God said to Israel, you're cursed with a curse. Even this whole nation bring the tithe as storehouse. When we rob God, we give the devil an opportunity. As I said in the last program, when you take what God has not given you, the devil has a right to take what God has given you, and God has no right to stop him. And so we're involved in a battlefield. We need to level with God. We need to be faithful with God. God will be faithful with us. There's another little book in this series called First Fruits, which talks about when we put God first, he puts us first. And the first fruit secures the second fruit or the harvest. And so all that I'm sharing with you, and I'm only able to scrape the surface in these programs, but all that I share is there in this Power in Your Pocket set. And the Lord showed me, sell your house. And so I got it with a massive mortgage when I first got it and put a little bit down. I sold it at the peak. And when everybody else was buying, I was selling. And so I sold everything, and the Lord said, don't spend it, just put it in an account and leave it there. And that's what I did, and even showed me where to put it. And of course, when the market dropped, the Lord said, now you can buy a house again. And so the whole thing was turned around. As I always say, every man's bad day is someone else's good day. And when you listen to the Spirit of God, And I could tell you story after story about people being saved from crisis because they learned to listen to the Spirit of God.
Now I want to go back to that story. In 2005, God told you America was under a financial curse because God had no option because most of the believers were not tithing. What does God mean by tithing?
Well, I believe it means that you put God first, the first of everything we receive belongs to the Lord. And we need to understand, and I've taught this in this book series, that the tithe sanctifies the rest. When you give it to God, it sanctifies the rest. Jesus was God's first fruit that sanctified the rest. When Abraham gave his first legitimate child to God, it sanctified the rest. And that means most people pay the AT&T, they pay the phone bill, they pay the government, they pay everyone else. And if they've got anything left, they would give it to God, which is why they never have anything left, because it's not sanctified and it's not blessed. But when I put God first, he multiplies it. I've had people say to me that I didn't think I could afford to tithe, but now I'm glad that I did. And we need to understand, we need to be led by the Spirit where we put our tithes too. There's too much legalism. Some people say, well, you have to put it in the local church, or you have to put it in this ministry, or you have to do this. The Bible says the tithe belongs to the Lord. You need to ask God where you put it, and you need to obey the Spirit of God, because if you give it to someone because they tell you that it belongs to them, you're not going to be blessed. You're going to abort the harvest.
You know what I do with it, Peter? What I do with my tithe is I personally give some to the local church, but I give most of it to Jewish evangelism. And I might add, our ministry gives money. We give money to people that usually don't get it, people that are evangelizing Jews all over the world. And I can honestly say, in all of the years I've walked with the Lord, which is now 40 years, I've never had a need financially. I take it back. When we first started the ministry, we had a tough time. But in many, many years, we have never had a problem. I'm convinced it's because I personally give money in the tithe, and the ministry gives money.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, that's exciting, isn't it? And I believe that's true. I believe the majority of our tithes and offerings should be going into world evangelism, because Jesus said this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to every creature, and then will the end come. Jesus will return when the gospel has been taken to every creature. But of the 6.4 billion people in the world today, 2.4 billion have still never heard the gospel. So that's why our priority. And I know you do it with your television and radio. I'm doing the same with our television broadcast. I'm trying to go where the gospel has not been taken, because I want every person to hear the gospel. I believe the day will come where the Father will say, "Son, it's done. Finally, the last person has heard the gospel. Go and call my children home, and then the dead in Christ will arise first, and we which are alive and will be caught up together in the air."
And the only thing that counts, Peter, and you know this, is souls. He who wins souls is wise. The only thing you take to heaven is souls. Now, this is the Shabbat broadcast, and I want to bring you such supernatural peace. I want you to get these 12 pocketbooks of revelation knowledge that God gave Peter called Power in Your Pocket. We're making them available for a gift of $40. This Shabbat broadcast, the Lord has blessed you. The Lord has kept you. The Lord has smiled upon you. And the Lord has gifted you. And the Lord has favored you. And the Lord has given you His shalom, His completeness in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. In the name of the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzikenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Yivarechech Adonai ve'yishmarech. Yair Adonai panav elecha v'chonecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha ve'asem lecha shalom.
To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.